It's time to step into the Coming Out Lounge, a cool, safe space to be true to your sexual self, with your host, Rick Clemens. Rick has helped hundreds of people come out of the closet, and now each week he's bringing you cool insights for loving and accepting yourself, boosting your self-confidence, and living a guilt-free, purpose-filled life on the other side of the closet doors. Cuddle up with yourself and get ready for heartwarming coming out stories, ideas for living authentically, and tips for being fully self-expressed. Now here's your host, Coming Out Coach Rick.
Hello, Closet Busters. It is time once again to stop the closet dwelling and to step out, step up, and step into living your truth. And today, I really want to talk about that truth of no longer pretending to be something you aren't. In fact, I want you to step away from the imposter syndrome and really get comfortable in your own skin. Now, this is going to be a little bit different episode today than we typically do. Today, I'm bringing someone on that has really found his own way to step out of his own imposter syndromes, step into being truly who he is, and really rocking it in his own skin. He's a fellow podcaster that I've gotten to know, and he's done some pretty amazing stuff, diving into the business world, building businesses, and really getting real with himself. And sometimes this getting real with ourselves may seem like it's something trivial or it could be something big, but in this guy's case, Rob has really found a way to step into being who he's meant to be in the world, living his passion, living his purpose. At 19, he was already rocking the business world, and by age 25, he'd already built 2 7-figure businesses. So you may be going, okay, Rick, well, why the heck are we having this guy on? It's a business guy on the Coming Out Lounge. Well, it's pretty simple. Whether it's in business or life, you still have to get very comfortable in your own skin, which then determines how comfortable you are with yourself, your life, and your purpose in the world. And that's why today's focus of the Coming Out Lounge is all about dumping the fake facade and stepping into being that truly most authentic self in your own skin. Welcome to the show, my buddy Rob Dial.
That was great. I appreciate it. That was a great intro. I love listening to that.
Okay, well, you get to listen to it over and over now that it's going to be live on the air. So there you go, man. So
good.
Yeah, hey, I'm glad you're here because I do, from time to time, like to bring in people that are not gay or lesbian, bisexual, transgender, but who are really rocking the world in their own way because there's stuff we're all coming out of. And when you and I had the brief conversation before the show a couple of weeks ago, you brought up some really cool things about, you know, let's talk about maybe this imposter syndrome thing. Let's talk about getting comfortable in our own skin. So that told me there's some part of you that you've had some personal experience about stepping out of that imposter and really stepping into who you are. So why don't you give the listeners a little bit of a backstory on yourself and how at 19 you were already like kicking some butt in the business world.
Yeah, I appreciate it. So kind of my story is I started in sales when I was 19 and, you know, I was like every other 19-year-old. I partied. I probably partied about twice as much as the average 19-year-old. And I think everybody, whether it's just growing up or becoming themselves or figuring out who they are, there's just a point in their time when they're like, you know what, there's some changes that I really need to make in order to be the person that I want to be and to have the future that I want. And at 19, I realized that I kind of had to change some of the stuff that I needed to and started getting into personal development and saying, you know, I think that I could be really successful in life and at what I'm doing. And it was my mission from then on to learn as much as I possibly about becoming a better person, because the company I was with kind of forced me in a good way to a management position. And in order to be a manager of other people, you have to really be, especially 19, 20, 21 years old. And I was managing people that were twice my age and interviewing sometimes people that were 3 times my age. It was very much an imposter syndrome of who the hell am I as a 20-year-old being able to interview this guy who's 60 years old. And it was very much an imposter syndrome where I felt like I had to act like I was somebody else. And in reality, what I found was that I had to become the person that I was deep down inside and figure out who that person was more than anything else. And once I had the clear vision of who I was, what I stood for, and what I wanted in the world, it made it a lot easier to be the person that I knew that I actually was deep down inside. And that self-development kind of helped me there. And from there, I kind of learned the steps to become a better person, to become a successful person. And, you know, did that a couple different times with a few different businesses. And that's kind of the quick story. And where my imposter syndrome before then really came from, So you have an idea of you know, kind of my life before that was, I had an alcoholic father my entire life, and my parents split up when I was 9, and my father died from alcoholism at 50, when I was 15 years old. And it was very much, I understand that the feeling of having to hide and having to act like you're somebody else or try to stay away from group situations, just because of the fact that I remember my father coming to my baseball games when I was a little kid all the time drunk, and I just didn't want anybody to know that he was my father, have him be around. And it was a long, you know, 10, 15 year struggle of who am I, how is this affecting me, and kind of working all of that out in my brain as becoming the person that I wanted to become as well.
So I find this really fascinating that you at that young age were hiding something that you didn't want people to see, which is very typical of what happens to those of us that are in the closet. We don't want anybody to know that this is this thing that's happening, but yet here's the parallel already. I mean, you were hiding this alcoholic father, you know, probably a rough family life, because I know I had a father who was alcoholic as well. And, you know, you don't want anybody to know these little secrets because it's too, it's shame, you know, it's almost shaming, you know, and it brings a lot of extra heaviness to who we are as young guys. Mm-hmm. So I'm assuming then, Rob, that some of that started to carry forward in your own, you know, life, especially when you talked about being the party boy and drinking a lot and everything, you know, at 19. There was obviously this moment that you probably in your own way came face to face with your dad's demons in your own life.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, exactly what you said is, it seems like you said you've been through the same thing as well, where, you know, there's, when you have an alcoholic father, especially at, you know, 9 years old, when you're coming up and you're trying to figure out who you are in the world. And it's, for me being a guy, there's, you know, you don't really talk about those types of things. You kind of hold it all in. And so, for me, what it ended up becoming was, instead of, you know, acting out at first or becoming one of those kids that goes and acts out in school and all of those things, mine turned into just becoming a recluse. Like I didn't want to be around people because then I thought they would find out, and I didn't want my father to pick me up. And you know, it's a difficult, like you said, there's definitely parallels between it, because it's me hiding who I really was, because I have these friends that have these what seem like perfect lives, and their parents have, you know, these nice houses and cars and all of these. And I'm sitting at home struggling, calling the cops on my father because he broke into our house again. And there's those types of things that I have to kind of hide. And I have to hide that self from everybody else, including my friends. A lot of my friends didn't even know the stories. So I would say up until 19 years old, 20 years old, it was very much, I was partying. It was my way of acting out, where, you know, I'll do the partying, I'll do the drugs. And it was just my way of finally breaking free and being like, you know what, then screw it. I'm just going to do this. This is how I am. And I'm going to do all this partying. And then it came to the point of, this is not who I am.
Right.
And the person that I am is hidden inside of here. And I need to find, that was the main thing for me, was trying to find who I truly was. And I think that's the way it is with most people in life in general, is you have an idea of who you are, but there's no real statement that you make to yourself of, here's who I am, here's my morals, here's how I'm going to act, and I don't care what anybody thinks about me, no matter what. And you know, it's just the point of being the lighthouse versus anything else. The lighthouse is just there to shine, and from that shining helps everybody else become the true version of themselves. My lighthouse, me just finding who I was in my personal self, was finding that, being comfortable with who I was, because I knew that if I was comfortable with who I was and I was my best version of myself, like a lighthouse and shining, then other people would see that and try to become the best version of themselves as well. And that, more than anything else, I would say is the true reason why I have been successful, is because I found out who I am. I found out what I stand for, and people are attracted to those types of things. And more than anything else, for me, it was finding who it is and not being afraid to actually show it to everybody else anymore.
So if somebody's struggling with this finding themselves, what would be something you'd suggest that they do? I mean, I know I could pull out stuff like right and left, but you're coming from this at a somewhat different angle. And I think what you will impart to the people listening to this is probably another fresh breath of air looking at this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that for me, whenever I talk to people or help people through this, or have some of my coaching clients, is more than anything else, I think that it, nowadays, you know, 2015, we're bombarded by so many different things. We have our computers, we have our phones, we have all of these things. And I think that it's easy to lose who you are, to see all of these people in the media and go, I want to be like that person. But in reality, we need to figure out who we want to be within ourselves. And I think the only way to, maybe not the only way, but the way that I recommend and the way that I feel is the best is literally just quiet time. And that would be with through meditation, which, you know, people think over the last couple of years, I've seen meditation really get a lot more mainstream than it has been in the past few years. Right. And I do it through meditation because it quiets everything down. And I don't have to worry about all of the external factors, everything else that's going on around me. So the quiet time of when you start to disconnect from all of the things that are happening around you, your brain can actually work and bring up some of this subconscious stuff that you really need to come in contact with again. Mm-hmm. Some of the stuff that's there, but you don't really realize that it's there. So I recommend meditation, and besides just meditation is journaling. Yeah. I always say that I think magic happens when you put pen to paper more than anything else, not write it down or type it down or whatever it is, but to actually the physical form of writing it down on a piece of paper and being able to go back and read it. And I think through those two, I usually every morning like to meditate for 15 to 30 minutes because it disconnects me from everything, but then also at the same time brings me to my true self, which is in there. And then immediately after that, I like to, you know, start to write down all of the things that I come through in meditation. Some of my best ideas, some of the best things that I've found about myself, they all come from meditation and then journaling right after. And
I agree.
It's an interesting concept in 2015 that we're trying to go kind of backwards in a sense, because we're trying to put all of this technology and Apple Watches and trying to be, you know, inundated with all of this information and technology all the time to go, you know what, I'm going to step away for a while. You know, personally, what I did was I ended up just leaving a job about a week and a half ago, and my cell phone service was connected to the job. And I've had the same cell phone number since I was, let's see, it's been 12 years now. Wow. But I decided that I don't need to be connected to the world all the time. Right. Through, if I have Wi-Fi, I can pretty much do anything that I need to whenever I get to that spot. But it's been great to go to the park and to not have a phone that works and to just sit quietly and figure out what it is who I am, what I want to do with my life, what my next step is. And that's the biggest thing I would recommend for anybody, is just to kind of get quiet and start writing, I think is the best way to do so.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I think sometimes people get scared by, oh, well, I don't know how to do this meditation thing, or I'm not doing it right. And what I encourage my clients, especially because they're either in the chaos of figuring out their sexuality or coming out, or they're about to step into the chaos, or maybe they're on the other side of the doorway and, you know, it's happening, is just be still and be quiet. Mm-hmm. That's the best way to start to learn. You don't have to have some great music or some, you know, you can have that and that can be beautiful. I mean, Oprah and Deepak Chopra do these 21-day meditations almost religiously now. Every 2 to 3 months they'll be out. And that's also something I would encourage somebody is, you know, grab onto one of those when they're doing the free ones, see if it works for you. But I think it's so much simpler. You can just go disconnect and just be quiet. Now, the challenge is going to be, it's really tough at first because our minds are so used to this go, 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 go sort of mentality. But the more permission you give yourself to just be still and to be quiet. And usually when I'm talking about this, I love to do this in the middle of something when somebody's listening, and I'll invite you to just be quiet too. And let's just kind of see how uncomfortable this becomes, is just being quiet. Now for you and me,
I love that. I loved it. Just what you just did. Yeah, it was a nice little break. For some people, I could see that being.
Yeah. But for some people, it's like, oh my gosh, the podcast isn't working or whatever. It's interesting how our minds immediately, even though I'm used to doing that, I still feel that little voice in my head going, okay, how long are you going to let this go, Rick? How long are you going to stay? Yeah. But it's because we're so used to this go, go, go mentality, which then means we get uncomfortable in our own skin when we have to slow it down. And I think that's the whole point of this conversation today is, okay, so we know we want to quit trying to be something we're not, and we want to become something that we really are, and we need some tools to help us figure out who we are. But then once we start to figure out who we are, it gets a little uncomfortable. So 19, you've been the party boy, you've been drinking, you've kind of been mimicking dad's behavior. And I'm right there with you, man. I wasn't 19. Well, I guess at 19, I was kind of doing that. Mm-hmm. But when I really found it most was when I came out of the closet that first year. Mm-hmm. I remember one night in particular, I lived in Laguna Beach, California, and there was a couple of gay bars there in Laguna at that time. And I had been to one of the bars, and I remember getting home. I don't remember how I got home. And I remember one of my neighbors, where it was like a little, it was our own little gay Melrose place where I lived. There was about six of us guys who all lived in this little cool little apartment building, and we were all gay and we all knew each other. And every once in a while, one or the other of us would go play with the other one. And that happened to be what happened for me that night is I got home. I remember waking up the next morning and one of my neighbors was laying there in my bed, and I don't remember any of it happening. And I thought, this is ridiculous, Rick. You've got two little girls. You've got an ex-wife that you owe some life to in many different ways, whether it's the alimony and the child support or being the parent or being a schmuck and, you know, coming out late in life. You owe certain things. You're a pretty high up the ladder guy at your work. So you need to wake up. And I remember laying there going, how angry I used to get at my father when he did exactly what I did. Not that he brought some guy home. That isn't what I get. But when he couldn't even remember how he got home. And so I thought, okay, it's time to change things up. It's really time to go there.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So in yourself, it had to be a lot of letting go, I would assume. And then also going through some pretty scary spaces of, okay, now if I'm not this, who am I? I mean, that had to be pretty scary in and of itself.
Yeah. And I think that's one thing that when you spoke about getting quiet just for a little while, how people become uncomfortable with it. I think that's sometimes one of the main reasons why people are so uncomfortable with it, because they're scared to face who their real true self is. And they know that if they have all of this, they keep people around them, or they keep looking at the TV, or they're checking their Facebook or whatever it is, they don't have to really sit quietly and find out who they truly are. Mm-hmm. And for me, it took a long time. I mean, it was I'll give you an idea that the day my dad died on a Thursday, and I flew up to Tennessee to go to the funeral. I lived in Florida at the time. I flew up to Tennessee and then went back to school on funeral was on Sunday, and I went back to school on Tuesday, the day after we got back from it. So mine was completely hiding all of this, and I didn't tell any of my teachers. My mom ended up telling my teachers once my grades kind of dropped. And for me, it was hiding, and it's, I don't want to say you get into a dark place where you have to go kind of jump into your mind and figure out what it is, but I think that it's, you know, I read a book not too long ago, and I did an episode on it, and the number one regret of people who are dying was just that I wish I had the courage to live a life that was true to myself, not what others expected of me. And part of the reason, I guess I came from a lineage to kind of understand, to break what happened. My father, he had demons of his own. That's why he became an alcoholic. So what happened was his father worked for Monsanto, and this is in like the 60s, and developed stomach cancer. And the stomach cancer went to his brain and went all over the place and made him go crazy. And my father's father at 12 years old, it was my grandfather, my grandmother, my father, and then his two younger sisters in the room. And my grandfather killed himself when my father was 12, and the entire family was there. Wow. So what happened was I came to the realization that I've got demons that I need to face. And if I don't face them, I keep hiding from them, then I'm going to keep this lineage going of people who don't face their demons and develop some type of, you know, even I could have been addicted to work and worked too much and then eventually had a family and then not taking care of them or whatever it might have been. I could have started some type of way to cope with my demons without facing them directly. Mm-hmm. And my father's way of coping was to drink and not to face them directly. So I realized that's why I was fatherless. I didn't want to eventually get to the point where I had a spouse or had kids that left them fatherless or without a husband or someone who was not there all the time. So mine, more than anything else, was just the simple fact of realizing that you know, I was becoming, in a sense, exactly like my father. And what I mean by that is hiding from the demons that I have, just the same way that he hid from the demons that he had. So mine was to honestly, it was a couple of weeks where it was just like, I need to come in contact with these demons. I need to write down as much as I possibly can, exactly how I feel about everything. And I think that more than anything else, it's just the, you know, your listeners might not have demons, but they might need to go, okay, what do I stand for and what do I want in my life? And realize that you find out who that is. You find out that true person that you are, and realize that some people aren't going to like you the way that you are. I mean, some people don't like me the way that I am. That's fine. But there's, you know, 7 billion people on this planet. Somebody's going to like me. I'm going to find a group of people who I can help and who I can impact. And, you know, it's the perfect example is the story that you just told, where you weren't happy with yourself. You changed after something happened, and now you're impacting people through your podcast. And mine is the exact same way, where I found out who I am, what I stood for. And now that I've, you know, faced my own demons, I can help other people do the same. And many of your listeners could do the same thing. Maybe they come out of the closet and they don't start a podcast or start, you know, help a whole bunch of people. But eventually what they can do is maybe help one other person.
Absolutely.
And that's all that really matters, is if you just try to help other people around you. Yeah. And I think,
but there is this interesting space of demons that does show up in, I would say, and I'm gonna take my unofficial hat and put it on, saying I believe about probably 95% of the people who go through the coming out journey are dealing with demons. Now, some of those demons may not be self-imposed. Some of those demons are going to be societal imposed. Others are going to be self-imposed, because you take what society says, then you own it and make it your truth. Mm-hmm. I don't know if anybody that I've worked with, out of the couple hundred people I've worked with over the last few years, that I would say didn't have some kind of demon. It could be the demon of, I'm going to disappoint my family. I'm going to disappoint my church, or I'm going to disappoint my community or my friends. I mean, those are the demons that, you know, I'm going to disappoint myself by not being true to myself. And I think this is where most of us as humans struggle, is we tend to be hearing a lot about mindfulness and self-care and all these sort of things. But every time somebody starts to talk about self-care and loving yourself first and everything, there's almost always, especially if I'm in a room of people and I talk about that, I can almost hear like this collective, I don't know, like, yeah, but that's kind of selfish. You can almost hear underneath, there's still that murmur of, yes, but that's kind of selfish to take care of yourself and do something. The truth is that in and of itself is a demon. There's nothing wrong with caring for self so that you can be better for you, which makes you better for the world. And I think a lot of people miss that piece, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm curious, you've done a lot of work. I can tell just by, you know, the times that we've talked and the things that you do on your own podcast. I want to talk about your podcast here in a minute. But through all that work, what is the one thing that keeps you going? Because it can be kind of difficult to say, yes, I'm going to stay on this track. I'm going to be who I am. I'm going to try to keep the imposter away, and I'm going to be really comfortable in your own skin. What happens when you have those days?
Yeah, I think that more than anything else, whether it's someone being successful or just continuing to go on in life, I think that more than anything else, someone has to figure out what their why is. Yeah. And I'll give you a perfect example, and it'll go perfectly with your audience as well. When I was, it was 2009. So I was 23 years old. I was running an office, and my office was doing, you know, millions of dollars in sales and blah, blah, blah. But for me, it wasn't the sales that were coming in. It was the people that I was impacting. And I had this one rep that worked for me, and he was from a Muslim family. He was probably one of the proudest moments that I've had of working with people. And the reason why was because he was gay, and I could tell that he was gay. Mm-hmm. And he didn't want to, because of the fact he had a Muslim family and he had all these things, he didn't want to come out. You know, he thought he was going to be completely shunned by his family. And so he used to, you know, he worked in my office so much that he had his prayer rug, because he had to obviously pray at certain times of the day. He kept it in my office, and he would pray inside of my personal office. And I would just go into the other room, and he would do it. And then one day, he had the courage to finally come out to me, and he was like, you know, I wanted to tell you that I'm gay. You're the first person I've told. And I was like, I knew that you were, and this isn't going to change anything. I don't think anything different of you. I still love you exactly the same way that I did before. I think you're a great person. You have a lot to offer. And I think that the way that he came out to me and the way that I accepted him then in turn gave him confidence to go out and tell other people, and then eventually tell his family. And it's been, you know, six years now since that happened. And he wasn't shunned by his family. They accepted him. They figured, you know, it's just the way that he is, and we love him for the way that he is. And that was, and to answer your question, that was my why when I saw something like that happen. So why did I, when I was working at that office and I ran my own office, I was working 100 to 110 hours a week. And I was working so hard at first to try to make as much money as possible because I was just being selfish and, competitive. I wanted to be number one in my entire company. And then when stuff like that started to happen, and I was like, this is actually, in the back of my mind, this is actually the real reason why I'm doing this, because I'm impacting people. I had another rep who came in, and his father had died tragically one day just from choking, and nobody else was at home. So there was nobody else that could really help him. And he was from a horrible part of town, and he didn't have any people that were influencing him. Mm-hmm. And he came in, and a year after he was working for me, he said, you know, I know I wasn't really good when I first came in and started selling, but you really pushed me. You made me a better person. And that's why I stuck around, is because since my father's death, you're the only person that I really can see as a father figure. And I was a 23-year-old hearing that. And that was my why. And so when I worked 110 hours a week and I went and was working to impact as many people as possible, that was the reason why. So I think that most of the time when someone's not successful or whatever it might be, they get off the path, whether they decide to keep going on that path or whether they decide to veer off of it, or if they get, you know, kicked in the face from, you know, failure or whatever it might be, the person that's going to keep going, the only real reason why they're going to keep going is because they know what their why is, whatever their why is. And when you know what your why is, one of my favorite phrases that my old mentor used to say is, when you know what your why is, the how will reveal itself. So what that means is, when you know why you're going down this path that you want to go down, the how you're going to overcome the next obstacle will eventually pop up. And I think that's perfect for your audience as well, where it's like, you know, if why do you want to, you know, if this is your true self and this is who you know who you are, what's the why behind it? Why do you want to do this? And once you know the why, you will eventually figure out the how. Yeah. And then once you get over your first hump and you know what your why, it's the way it keeps going. So once you know, if the how is, or so sorry, if the why is strong enough, the how will reveal itself.
Absolutely.
That's the key point. And so when you ask, how do I, you know, become successful? Successful is just a word in my mind.
Yep.
But the only reason why is because I know why I want to, I know what I'm working for. And I know, you know, why I'm working for it as well.
Yeah. One of the most impactful moments I ever had in my coming out coaching journey was when I actually was working with a client right along these lines of why. And I said to him, so you say you're gay, you know, you're gay, you're attracted to men, but why is it really important for you to be out?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, isn't that obvious? And I said, I wouldn't have asked the question if it was obvious.
Yeah.
And I said, this is going to sound a little bit like, you know, really guru type talk happening right now, but until you know why it's important for you to come out,
mm-hmm.
you'll never know how to come out.
Yeah.
And he got really, really quiet. And I said, and I want you to know the why can be as simple as, so I can freely have sex with a guy when I want to have sex with a guy, or it could be, I want to quit hiding. I want to quit playing dual lives. I said, I don't care what it is. And I sent him off to work on that for his exploration work for the week.
Mm-hmm.
And about halfway through the week, I saw my phone ringing and I saw his name pop up. And I thought, I wonder if he's come out, or I wonder if something's wrong. And I picked up the phone, and all I heard on the other end of the line was just this horrendous sobbing. So, of course, as a coach, I'm like, okay, you know, am I going to be calling like 911 here, and, you know,
right.
all this sort of stuff. And I said, you know, what's going on for you, man? And he goes, I never understood why I was gay until you challenged me to do this exercise.
Hmm.
And I said, so what was this all about? He goes, the why for me is I'm doing this because I love myself.
Wow.
And that was powerful. Like really powerful. It was a big moment. And so I've, you know, as we grow and we do these things as coaches and stuff, you keep some of these things, you know, along the path so you can dole them out when it's necessary. And I think this why is so poignant to anyone's journey. I mean, Simon Sinek is one who, you know, says start with why. That's a really good place to start, is that know your why, and then everything else will fall in place, the how, the when, and all that sort of stuff. So, wow, you brought this like really to a place where I know we can kind of come full circle, because the why is so important. And that may be the thing that you leave with the audience. But at this point of the show, I always ask my guests that, you know, if they could give anybody a piece of advice for really stepping into being themselves and letting go of the imposter syndrome and being comfortable in their own skin, what would be one other piece of advice, if it's not this one, that you'd leave with the audience?
I think that for me, it's the fact that my father died when I was at such young age really made a big impact on my life. And the only reason why I dedicate my time and putting in the podcasting, coaching others and doing all of these things is because I feel like we have a very short time on this earth. And I think that people realize it, but I don't think that people really realize it and internalize it. Some people do. And I realized that I was going to die one day. My father's death was my very first one that I ever came in contact with. And it was very in my face at that point of, wow, this death thing is real. Like, this really happens. And it took me, even though I knew that, it took me up until about the past year or so where I was like, you know what, this isn't my trial run. Like, I have to either I become who I want to become and really be successful, or really be the, and by success, I don't mean money. I just mean as impacting as many people as possible. Right. And it was the past year and a half, I've really dedicated myself to putting time into it because when I leave here, I want to make I could have done to impact more people. So that's mine. But I think that most people, more than anything else, it's just that they are just kind of living their life to the expectations of everyone else. Mm-hmm. And they don't realize that by living to everyone else's expectations, they're usually not doing any good for the world. Right. The way that we do the most good for the world is that we find out who we are, what we are, and we believe that it's something to die for. Like, we will die for it because we are that positive in what we believe in. And when we do that and we shine, we give other people the opportunity and the right to shine as well. Because sometimes people are too afraid to come out of their shell and be who they really are. And I think that when we find out who we really are and we embody that and we become that, other people see that. And the only way that I really think that if this world could ever change and really become good, is if everyone figures out who they are, what their passion is, what they believe in. And by doing so, only show everybody else exactly that who they are, and give the right and the opportunity for other people to do so as well. So what I would say is, if someone's on the edge, it's, I can't even imagine the struggle of how hard it must be. And I think that if you're on the edge of doing it, when you eventually do it, embody it. Once you find out who you are and who you want to be, and you will in turn, whether you talk to people about it or whether they just see you being who you are, you will change other people's lives that see you being who you are. Whether they're gay or whether they're not gay, they might say, wow, that person is who they are. Why am I not being who I'm supposed to be? Yeah. And then they come in contact with maybe their own demons or whatever it might be. And you empower people to be themselves when you're yourself.
Absolutely.
I would say find out who you are and be yourself. And that will in turn empower people to be themselves and help change the world as well.
Cool. Great words to leave us with. So real quick, share with the listeners the name of your podcast and how they can find it.
Yeah. So mine is, mine's MWF Motivation. It just stands for Monday, Wednesday, Friday, because that's when it comes out. So there's no spaces, MWF Motivation. And it's a 10 to 20 minute podcast that it helps people be successful. But I think more than anything else, it dives into mindset. I'm kind of an addicted person to reading about the mind and the way the mind works and why we are the way that we are. So I dedicate 10 to 20 minutes three times a week for people to listen to on the way to work, whatever it might be. And, you know, it's everything you could talk about from goals all the way to why we act the way that we act and breaking down in that sense, the psychology between us. And if anybody needs to get a hold of me, if they have any questions or want to reach out to me to tell me about the episode at all, it's rob@mwfmotivation.com. And obviously mwfmotivation.com is the website for it.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Rob, so much for being here today, man. I love the conversation we just had. I know there's bits and pieces and there's nuggets in there that apply to anybody, regardless of your sexual orientation. So I really appreciate you being with me today.
Thank you for having me. This was great.
Absolutely. And if you've really enjoyed what you've heard today, as Rob and I have shared and talked and explored, it always warms my heart when I see a review or a rating, because I know that means somebody's really gotten something, but it's not about me. I want you to go out and share this podcast with other people. I don't need the ratings or the reviews. It always helps because it helps us get further up in the iTunes, new and noteworthies and all those sort of things. But more than anything, go out and share if this really means something to you. And if you happen to be in Facebook, you can always find me at The Coming Out Coach. And of course, if you're one of those Twitterholics that most people are these days, you can always tweet me at Rick Clemons, and that's C-L-E-M-O-N-S, and use the hashtag The Coming Out Lounge. And with that, we're going to wrap up another segment of The Coming Out Lounge. And as always, go out there and never stop stepping out, stepping up, and stepping into living your powerful truth. I'm Rick Clemons, The Coming Out Coach, and we'll catch you again next week.
You've just experienced The Coming Out Lounge. Go online to www.comingoutlounge.com to learn more. And tune in again next week for more stories and tips for being true to yourself.